This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, cat lovers. Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. And you're listening to Catitude on Pet Life Radio. So today's topic, you know, it's not the most fun topic I have on Catitude, but it is necessary. My guest today is very well educated in coping with the loss of your cat. We don't talk about grief enough because it's something that unfortunately we're all going to deal with if we have a cat. And it's important to understand, you know, how to grieve, why to grieve, what we can do so that we can move forward. So, hey, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Kitty Poo Club reinvented the litter box. No more scrubbing that stinky plastic tray or worrying, oh my God, do my guests smell that? No cleaning, no scrubbing, no more stink. You are going to love it. Your cats are going to love it. Go to kittypooclub.com, and when you order, save 30% on your first auto ship. Visit kittypooclub.com, use code MEOW30 at checkout, and join the club, the Kitty Poo Club.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Reverend Khalil Sakakini. He is an ordained animal chaplain, and he's also a credentialed loss and grief counselor. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm going to call you Khalil if that's okay.
I love that. If you did not know, I wouldn't know who you were talking to.
Okay.
I don't answer the jack.
All those titles. And then I also want to mention you're the creator of AnimalTalksInc.com.
Yes.
Everybody listening, that link will be on our show page on Pet Life Radio. But let's talk about your journey. Khalil, what inspired you to begin this journey, to become a grief counselor and an ordained animal chaplain? What drove you to this?
Right. We live in a society, as you rightly pointed out, that's pretty much grief illiterate, and we're not very comfortable with grief. We do everything in the world we can to kind of get past it. But then, you know, grief is the opposite side of the same coin of love. So I had, living my life perfectly fine, I was a journalist, and then I had a cat. It was a big, beautiful cat. You know, some loves are just simply bigger than others. And when he died, my world was totally shattered. I was off the rails. I drank too much. I was despondent. My life just suddenly lost its purpose and its meaning. But there was nobody I could talk to. Of course, I went to therapy. Our therapists are generally trained in grief, let alone the loss of an animal or animal grief. So I was really bewildered and lost. And somehow or other, I can only say I was guided or directed to a theological institute that just happened to be the only place I know of in the world that offers a program in animal chaplaincy. So I went and studied. And in the process of studying to become an animal chaplain, I became a non-denominational ordained pastor and then continued my work to become, you know, credentialed pet loss and grief counselor and a grief educator. So like so many people who love animals or love, period, the loss of whom we love or what we love motivates us to manifest that love in ways that are constructive. You volunteer, you start a nonprofit, you go to a shelter. To serve others. That's just how it seems to work. And it worked that way for me.
Well, that is quite the journey. And what is it to be an ordained animal chaplain?
Right. I think it's tied into animal rights. We believe we're sort of anti-speciesism. We don't think that there is like a hierarchy of human or species or people, intrinsic value, like the human is not more important than the animal. White person is not more important than a black person. We eliminate all that speciesism
And we work really to work with animals and create for them an autonomy, to see that their lives are rich and full. Some of my colleagues as animal chaplains work in shelters. Others work in veterinarian offices. I happen to work as a grief counselor. So each animal chaplain has a specific calling, and mine happens to be to create animal talks, to help people who are lost in their grief and bereavement, who are trying to get the pain to soften and move through this rocky journey. And that's my function. Other animal chaplains, as I said, take on other roles, but it's all designed to honor the animal-human bond and to recognize that animals are sacred beings just as we are. They feel, they love, they want families, they hope. They are, in a sense, a kind of personhood. But we honor them and respect that value and that bond. So that's what we serve. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Was it the loss of your cat that kind of propelled you toward grief counseling and specifically animals?
Yeah, it was the loss of my cat that made me realize, Michelle, that there was no real help available for people who lost a beloved pet. That where would you turn? I mean, as a human dies, we have wakes and celebrations of life, and we have funerals, and we have mercy meals, and people gather. When you lose a pet whom you loved and lived with, let me take a kid, for example, who grows up with a dog from 3 years old to 18. That's a sibling. And when that pet dies, it's like losing a sibling or the members of the family. But there was no place to go where somebody could understand the depth of the feeling. So that really was what motivated me to try to do something about this and create a place and a service for people who had a place to go when they were suffering the loss of a beloved animal companion.
That makes a lot of sense. Let's talk about grief.
Okay.
And I think grief is really hard when you lose a fur babe, because I mean, sometimes I've had both experiences, when I lost one suddenly and when I lost one gradually. And, you know, there's different emotions with each, and it's not that one is easier or better. It's just, you know, they're both difficult emotions. What you're saying is it's really on point, because on Catitude, I've had shows with Best Butts for Pets, which is my other show that I host. I've had products that, you know, you can do something with your pet's ashes. I've had people talk about, you know, loss and what not to do, but it's kind of seems like it's almost a taboo subject. And I don't know if it's more, because most of my guests have been, you know, US based, not all, but I don't know if it's because it's a taboo subject in the US or we just don't like to talk about it. I mean, nobody likes to talk about grief, but it's a part of life. It's going to happen, whether it's your fur babe or your, you know, somebody
your spouse, or
it's going to happen. So what should someone expect following the loss of their fur babe?
Well, let me ask you a question, Michelle. When you talked about one of your pets passing suddenly and one over a period of time, did you experience a lot of anticipatory grief in the one that was dying? Did you feel that grief because you were anticipating it and living with it was different from the other?
Of course. I mean, I was devastated with the first, and I also was, you know, single, living alone. So I didn't have anybody that really to communicate with. And again, it was all of a sudden. So it was like a shock. With second fur babe, Mr. Zeus, you know, then I was married and there wasn't the sense of nobody in the household to talk with or communicate with, but it was still devastating. It was different, and to me, it wasn't as shocking, but it was still catastrophic, and you beat yourself up. I should have done this. What could I have done?
Exactly. This?
And he was at his time, you know, he was over 15 years old, which for, you know, medium-sized dog, that's on the norm. He's medium-sized mutt, but it doesn't make it any different. It's still a horrible loss.
Yeah, but you had people to talk to and people to share your grief with. Then that made it easier, I'm assuming.
Of course.
Yeah, for a lot of people,
close off. And your question about grief is a good one, because, you know, this is the kind of society where everybody has to be happy. They have to either go shopping or drink a lot, have sex or go to sports or bet. We went through a pandemic where we lost 1 million people. It's almost like yesterday's headlines. And yet there are so many of us carrying grief inside of us. But it's important to remember that grief does not stand alone. You cannot have grief unless you have love. Love and grief are co-joined. They're absolutely the opposite sides of the same coin. So if you did not love, you do not grieve. If you love shallowly, then you grieve shallowly. If you love deeply, you grieve deeply. And a lot of that depends upon the kind of person you are and how much you can open up to your own feelings. So grief and love are the same thing. You cannot have one without the other. When people say, I don't want to hear about grief, or grief avoided, but then how can you love? How can you possibly hold someone dear if you don't understand and feel that's part of a losing process?
So again, what are some things that somebody can expect?
Yes.
We're going to go into the stages of grief right after our break, but what are some things that, you know, there's people listening and cats, you know, tend to live longer than dogs, but still you get to where, I mean, it varies, you know, it depends on your cat. Generally, they live to what, 16 to 20 years?
If you're lucky, yeah.
There's still that you have to think about, okay, I'm most likely going to outlive my cat. Am I prepared? What should I expect? And some people listening have a cat that's unfortunately, you know, not doing so well. So what are some of the emotions that they should expect? And then we'll talk after the break about some of the stages of grief.
Yeah, you know what, Michelle, I don't think you can prepare for this. I mean, how do you prepare for it? I mean, what do you know? It happens, it occurs, and you're devastated. And I think that the first thing people feel, as you did too, is a kind of bewilderment. Look, for 18 years, the mind has created a reality. This is how I walk in the door. This is where I feed the dog. This is where I put the leash. This is where the cat's litter box is. The mind is doing everything you trained it to do out of your love for your animal companion. And then all of a sudden, the animal's gone. And the mind and the brain are saying, well, wait a minute. I'm doing what you told me to do, what I've been doing for 18 years, and now it doesn't matter. So there's a panic that sets in, a total bewilderment. And the first thing people usually feel is disbelief, complete disbelief. Now what do I do? My world has changed. The brain is looking for a way. It's like putting a car in neutral or racing the engine. It's not going anywhere. It doesn't know where to go. So bewilderment, uncertainty, guilt, loneliness, a classic, and thinking you're going out of your mind sometimes is like the house feels empty. It's asking where the other life is. So those are the deep emotions, which especially include bewilderment, feeling lost, feeling empty, feeling disoriented. And that's why we ask people not to make any decisions during this period of time, like not getting another pet or creating a new will or buying a car, because you're just not yourself. You're out of your reality and you need time for the mind and body and brain to catch up.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Kitty Poo Club reinvented the litter box. No more scrubbing that stinky plastic tray or worrying, oh my God, do my guests smell that? Kitty Poo Club has solved the stink. And now the worst part of cat ownership is hassle-free. No cleaning, no scrubbing, no more stink. And the best thing is you don't have to buy some oversized contraption that will break down. Kitty Poo Club litter boxes are manufactured to make your life easier. You have one cat? Easy peasy. A small mountain lion? No problem. You are going to love it. Your cats are going to love it. Believe me, there are good reasons why we sold over 3 million boxes. Go to kittypooclub.com, read the amazing reviews, and when you order, save 30% on your first auto ship. Visit kittypooclub.com, use code MEOW30 at checkout, and join the club, the Kitty Poo Club.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Reverend Khalil Sikakini about how to cope with the loss of your pet. So right before the break, you said you shouldn't make any decisions that any, you know, maybe life-changing or large decisions. It seems like there's two schools of thought with this. Some people have to get another pet right away. And then some people are just, I'm not ready yet, or I don't know that I'm going to go that route. A lot of people have multi-cats. So, okay, I lost this cat. I'm devastated, but I have others. And so it's not as an outsider looking in. It's not as an experience that myself, I guess not an outsider looking in, but experience it myself. It's not as shocking. But what do you think? I mean, is it, it just depends on the situation. What about getting another pet? What about getting another cat?
Oh, I'm really suspicious.
Maybe getting two more cats, or, you know, some of us that are listening have dogs and cats, and maybe getting a dog along with your cat. Or what about changes to the household?
I mean, you're absolutely right. People are different. They grieve differently. They feel differently. There are cultural differences, age differences, stages of life differences. So it's hard to generalize, but I will generalize, even though I say I shouldn't. I think that the impulse to get a new animal to fill that gap is huge, because your new love, the source of the love is gone. Why not reproduce that, right? And get another animal and feel the way you felt before. But it rarely works. I mean, I'm not saying it doesn't ever work, but generally speaking, getting another animal too soon is unfair to you and to the new animal, because you're really asking the new pet to be what you lost, to fulfill a gap and the hole that can only be filled uniquely by the pet that you lost. So it places a burden on you and the new pet to sort of fulfill a role that's not authentic. So you need to take time. You need to get yourself settled. You need to be comfortable with the emotions of anxiety, of fear, not bat them away, not run away from them. Live with them, feel them intensely, go through them. And as you gradually come out on the other side, perhaps with the help of a grief counselor, with good friends, with family, then you may very well be ready. And even then, I think it's important to be sure that you know why you're getting the new pet. Is it to replace the lost one, or is it to have a new experience with a new animal and develop a new relationship of love?
Good answer. I did that wrong. But,
oh, sorry.
And this was before I was in cat life, but I there was a dog that I lost, and she was sudden loss, devastated. I mean, I was just, it was miserable. It was, you know, me, myself in the apartment with her.
That's tough.
In the townhouse with her. That's and tough. I was devastated. And it was, I guess, I didn't want to replace her, but it was selfish. I was lonely, you know?
That's right.
But
that's
I didn't expect the new fur babe to replace her. And I wanted a certain kind of dog. I prefer border collie mixes that are dark, you know, in color, black, and that are mutts. And I'm very big with shelters, going to shelters.
Good for you.
So I must have hit every shelter and adopted Mr. Zeus right before Hurricane Wilma in 2005. So I mean, there was a lot going on at the time, but I don't know if I engraved my dog that passed intensely or what. But
what a great point. What a great point. Yeah, if I may, a lot of people we see, you know, it's funny. When a pet dies, it triggers off all other kinds of unmourned losses. I can't tell you. Every client I have, within 5 minutes of talking about the death of their dog or cat or bunny or bird or whatever, they're into the death of their mom or their dad or brother that they lost years ago. And having given that they never mourned those losses, that the loss of the dog or the pet suddenly frees them to embrace a loss and to grieve for losses that they just didn't give themselves permission to. So in your case, I don't know that you made a mistake. I mean, it seemed to work out well.
It worked out.
Fine. That was wonderful. It could not have, but it did. And you were savvy enough, sensitive, aware enough to know that you weren't trying to replace, but you were responding out of loneliness and you're responding for need for love, correct?
Yes, of course. And funny you should say, sometimes it brings up other emotions of love because my mother had passed 2 years prior.
There you go.
Although I grieved her plenty. And that's not part of this, you know, kind of thing, but I grieved her plenty. It wasn't a replacement. And I made sure, you know, in my thought that it wasn't a replacement for my dog that passed. It was for save another dog. And Mr. Zeus, it turned out he was a dog that was adopted and returned. And I called him my angel dog. He was the sweetest dog ever. Why he was returned is from what I got from the shelter where I adopted him. I guess they had a little kid and he playfully growled when the kid was, you know, playing with the dog toy. And so they thought, let's bring him back. And I thought, that's crazy. I mean, he was just, if anything, he was a bit more on the meek side. So he didn't start up with any dogs at the dog park. If they got too crazy, he'd walk away. But if they really, you know, I guess, got to him, he would tell them, you know, hey, growl a little bit and like, leave me alone. So I think it was timing. And I just got really lucky.
We are so pet illiterate in many ways. I mean, I see people walk their dogs. You know, dog sense of smell is just simply breathtaking. And that's how they get to know the world, by smelling. They get to know what's going on in the hood by smelling. Also, people on their cell phones or rushing to an appointment, jerking the dog along, pulling him along. That's not right. That's not giving autonomy and love to the dog. So the people that brought this dog back, they obviously didn't know dog. They didn't take the time to know dog. And I teach a class also on animal communication, which is really interesting. And that family, I'm sorry that that happened to the dog, but I'm glad you were there to step in as you did and rescue him because he sounds like a beauty.
I mean, on the other hand, I've had cats that I've lost. And recently, because I want to focus a little bit more on cats, because I'm sorry, folks, back then
it's still love. It's the same beings.
With Catitude, we had two feral cats within 6 months of each other pass. One we found, one we did not. And the reason they were outside is because they were a pair. And I do know that they were like feral community, but we got them fixed and all that. And it wasn't as horrible with grieving because I did know that feral cats have a short lifespan and they weren't with us that long. And maybe because they were outdoor cats, it wasn't the same kind of emotion.
Interesting.
Well, I also have three cats indoors and then a dog and all rescues. One was abandoned. The other two were related to the feral cats that passed.
I think that's a beautiful thing. I think you're a beautiful person doing the absolute job you should be doing, obviously.
Well, hopefully by this show, we communicate a lot of great information and help a lot of people.
I hope so. It's a great show. I mean, I love the questions.
Let's talk about how somebody would know if grief counseling is right for them and how they would locate a grief counselor or find you on your Animal Talks Inc. site.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. I would say that, you know, we cannot and do not and should not ever grieve alone. So we're kind of an isolated society in many ways. Families are splintered, broken up. They don't talk to each other. It's horrible. So if you have a family, you have close friends, that's really a saving grace. And it is a great way to heal and get the pain to soften and to help you not move on, but to move forward. But if the grief continues in a way that doesn't get, not resolved, but that you have no moments of joy, that you can't maybe get a cup of coffee with a friend or smile at a joke or meet someone for lunch, if you truly can't do any of those things, which are the simple steps of finding new life or being alive until you live again, then it may be time to talk to a grief counselor because you may be stuck. You may have stuck grief, protracted grief, stubborn grief, and you need some help. We welcome people from all over the world, and we do get clients from all over the world at Animal Talks, Inc. That's two words, Animal Talks, Inc. And you can reach me, Khalil, K-A-L-E-E-L, but you'll see it on the site, Khalil at AnimalTalksInc.com. And we have a monthly group, too, that meets every month. I forget the date, but it's a healing circle. And people come. Sometimes they have one-on-one counseling with me. Other times they just want to go to the group and then come and talk to me or just stay with the group. So there's help there now. There wasn't when I lost Cairo, but there is now.
And lastly, and we talked about this before briefly, but I want to in closure mention this. We understand that from everything we've talked about in the show that it's really important to, you know, take the time to grieve.
Yes.
And I have some answers that I think are right on this because
tell us. I'd love
my learnings and my life. But tell me if I'm right or
please. Wrong. I'm sure you're right.
If you don't grieve properly, isn't there a chance you're going to cover it up with something else? I mean, you mentioned before, you know, you could drink too much, eat too much.
Go shopping, right, whatever.
Shop too much, whatever. Right. All those are ways to numb yourself of feelings,
that's
right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And basically, that's what we're told to do, right? Be happy. Be positive. Be upbeat.
Right. Happy, smile on.
You can't do that. Like, even being, people say, be in the present moment. I'm not going to be in the present moment all the time. I can think about a future. I can think about the past. Grief, which is unresolved, unexpressed, will hurt you physically and emotionally, psychologically. It's a burden. I have seen more people crippled by the fact that they could not allow themselves to feel and express. They bottle it all up inside, and they really become unhappy people and need a serious help down the road. So you've done the right thing.
Okay, let's mention where people can reach you again.
Right. Animal Talks. It's hard to spell, but it's just one word. AnimalTalksInc.com. It's the website. Well, you see lots of stuff that we've done and resources and videos and audios and books and workshops. And my personal email is there. And I think there's information about the monthly Healing Circle group. So I would say, please go to Animal Talks, Inc. And if you can remember this email, it's Khalil@AnimalTalksInc.com. And I'm open to hearing your story and listening closely to what it is you want to tell me about what happened to you and where you're at this moment.
Well, Khalil, I want to thank you so much for coming on Catitude.
My pleasure.
Valuable information.
Stay well. I think it was a great show, but that's just being selfish. But I mean, I love your topic.
I'm really fortunate because we have a lot of listeners. So I'm grateful and fortunate that a lot of people like it. And I do try, I mean, my motto is, well, my sign off is one thing, but what I try to focus is on anything and everything cat. I do know that sometimes other pets get brought in because a lot of people have dogs and cats.
Absolutely.
Like me. But Right. The whole purpose is to communicate all kinds of things cat that people wouldn't ordinarily find on their own, you know, especially Animal Talks Inc. and a grief counselor, you know, for pets. That's unusual. And so that's part of what we're all about.
And I want to thank you for your astute and relevant questions and having this topic on the show. I think it's a great public service. So I want to thank you very much, Michelle, for this.
Oh, thank you.
God bless. We'll talk soon someday, I hope, again.
Yep. And thanks again for coming on Catitude.
And love to your animals. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. You know, it's not the cheeriest topic, grief, but it's part of our lives. And, you know, if this show just makes a few people live their lives better and understand, you know, more about how to grieve their cat and what to do with that emotion and where you can find one source of help, then, hey, I'm thrilled. I want to thank my guest, Reverend Khalil Sakakini, for coming on Catitude. I want to thank my cat crew, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly, for hopefully not teaching me about grief for many years. Thanks to Sammy and Jethro that did teach me about grief. I do miss you guys so much. Thanks to Mr. Nikki for being the solo dog in the group of cats. And of course, thanks to everyone listening. I am grateful and honored that you listened to Catitude. I appreciate it so much. And of course, thank you so much to my producer, Mark Winter, for making me and my guests sound amazing. Now remember, lose the attitude, have Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.